Old Testament lesson today is from the prophet Ezekiel. Ezekiel 47, beginning with verse 1. Hear now the words of our prophet. Then he brought me back to the door of the temple, and there was water flowing from under the threshold of the temple toward the east, for the front of the temple faced east. The water was flowing from under the right side of the temple, south of the altar. He brought me out by way of the north gate and led me around on the outside to the outer gateway that faces east, and there was water running out on the right side. And when the man went out to the east with a line in his hand, he measured 1,000 cubits. And he brought me through the waters. The water came up to my ankles. Again, he measured 1,000 and brought me through the waters. The water came up to my knees. Again, he measured 1,000 and brought me through. The water came up to my waist. And he measured 1,000, and it was a river that I could not cross, for the water was too deep, water in which one must swim. A river that could not be crossed. He said to me, "Son of man, have you seen this?" Then he brought me and returned me to the bank of the river. When I returned, there along the bank of the river were very many trees on one side and the other. Then he said to me, "This water flows toward the eastern region, goes down into the valley, and enters the sea. When it reaches the sea, its waters are healed. And it shall be that every living thing that moves, wherever the rivers go, will live. There will be a very great multitude of fish, because these waters go there, for they will be healed, and everything will live wherever the river goes. It shall be that fishermen will stand by it from En-Gedi to En-Eglaim. They will be places for spreading their nets. Their fish will be of the same kinds as the fish of the great sea, exceedingly many. But its swamps and marshes will not be healed. They will be given over to salt. Along the bank of the river, on this side and that, will grow all kinds of trees used for food. Their leaves will not wither, and their fruit will not fail. They will bear fruit every month, because their water flows from the sanctuary. Their fruit will be for food, and their leaves for medicine." This is the word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
Our New Testament lesson, the last chapter of the Bible, Revelation chapter 22, and we begin with verse 1. "And he, that is the angel, showed me a pure river of water of life, clear as crystal, proceeding from the throne of God and of the Lamb. In the middle of its street and on either side of the river was the tree of life, which bore 12 fruits, each tree yielding its fruit every month. The leaves of the tree were for the healing of the nations. And there shall be no more curse, but the throne of God and of the Lamb shall be in it, and his servants shall serve him. They shall see his face, and his name shall be on their foreheads. There shall be no night there. They need no lamp nor light of the sun, for the Lord gives them light, and they shall reign forever and ever." This is the word of the Lord. Please remain standing for our gospel lesson today from the Gospel of John, chapter 7, beginning with verse 37. Hear now the gospel of the Lord. On the last day, that great day of the feast, Jesus stood and cried out, saying, "If anyone thirsts, let him come to me and drink. He who believes in me, as the scripture has said, out of his heart will flow rivers of living water." But this he spoke concerning the Spirit, whom those believing in him would receive. For the Holy Spirit was not yet given, because Jesus was not yet glorified. Therefore many from the crowd, when they heard this saying, said, "Truly this is the prophet." Others said, "This is the Christ." But some said, "Will the Christ come out of Galilee? Has not the scripture said that the Christ comes from the seed of David and from the town of Bethlehem, where David was?" So there was a division among the people because of him. Now some of them wanted to take him, but no one laid hands on him. Then the officers came to the chief priests and Pharisees, who said to them, "Why have you not brought him?" The officers answered, "No man ever spoke like this man." Then the Pharisees answered them, "Are you also deceived? Have any of the rulers of the Pharisees believed in him? But this crowd that does not know the law is accursed. Nicodemus, he who came to Jesus by night, being one of them, said to them, "Does our law judge a man before it hears him and knows what he is doing?" They answered and said to him, "Are you also from Galilee? Search and look, for no prophet has arisen out of Galilee." This is the gospel of the Lord. Please be seated. Under the Old Covenant, God's people had three great festivals that were high points on their religious calendar. Each one was linked to agricultural activities and also recalled key events in God's redemptive working with Israel. First of all, there was a Passover. This was a springtime festival that marked the beginning of grain harvest. But Passover also recalled the Exodus from Egypt. Then there was Pentecost. Pentecost comes 50 days after Passover. And the word Pentecost basically means 50th. And it celebrated the end of the grain harvest, and it also recalled the giving of the law through Moses at Mount Sinai. And then finally, there was the Feast of Tabernacles, also known as the Feast of Booths. This was a fall festival that celebrated the completion of the agricultural year, and it also recalled the wilderness sojourn. In John 7, we find Jesus in Jerusalem at the time of this third festival, the Feast of Tabernacles. And while timed to coincide with the end of the agricultural year, the Feast of Tabernacles was more than just a harvest festival. We see this in Yahweh's original command for Israel to keep the festival, as we find it in Leviticus 23. Let me read Leviticus 23, verses 39 through 43. Also on the 15th day of the 7th month, when you have gathered in the fruit of the land, you shall keep the feast of Yahweh for 7 days. On the first day there shall be a Sabbath rest, and on the 8th day a Sabbath rest. And you shall take for yourselves on the first day the fruit of beautiful trees, branches of palm trees, the boughs of leafy trees, and willows of the brook. And you shall rejoice before Yahweh your God for 7 days. You shall keep it as a feast to Yahweh for 7 days in the year. It shall be a statute forever in your generations. You shall celebrate it in the 7th month. You shall dwell in booths for 7 days. All who are native Israelites shall dwell in booths, that your generations may know that I made the children of Israel dwell in booths when I brought them out of the land of Egypt. I am Yahweh your God. In these instructions, we see an emphasis on celebrating the harvest alongside also an emphasis on remembering the Lord's provision for his people when they dwelt in tents in their wilderness during the Exodus sojourn from Egypt to the Promised Land. And at the Feast of Tabernacles, the religious pilgrims would come to Jerusalem and they would build temporary shelters. These booths or tabernacles, word just really means tents. And they would live in these during the week-long feast in imitation of their ancestors during the wilderness wandering. It was surely a memorable experience for everyone involved. Now, by Jesus' day, there were other elements that were added to the celebration of the Feast of Tabernacles in Jerusalem, including a water ritual and a light ceremony. And these additional features provide helpful background for what John tells us about Jesus' experience at the feast. We're going to consider the water ritual this week, and then the light ceremony when we get into chapter 8. Now, water is a precious commodity in Palestine. Autumn was a period of drought in Israel, a time when the ground was parched, and water that was collected in cisterns during the spring rains was starting to run low. And as Israel celebrated the harvest at the Feast of Tabernacles, she also prayed for renewing rains to come. And this was part of the inspiration for a water ritual during the festival. Each day during the Feast of Tabernacles, a procession of priests descended to the southern border of Jerusalem, to the Gihon Spring, which fed into the pool of Siloam. And there a priest filled a golden pitcher as a choir chanted Isaiah 12:3, "With joy you will draw water from the wells of salvation." And the water then was carried back up the hill to the water gate, followed by crowds waving branches. We read about those branches in Leviticus. They were waving branches. And they were singing the Hallel Psalms, Psalms of Praise, Psalms 113 through 118. And when the procession arrived at the temple, the priest climbed the altar steps and poured the water onto the altar while the crowd circled him and continued singing. And on the seventh day of the festival, this water procession took place seven times, thoroughly drenching the altar. It was a most impressive ceremony. In the Mishnah, which is a later Jewish source, we're told, "He that never has seen the joy of the water drawing has never in his life seen joy." Well, that might be a bit of an overstatement, but it reflects something of the spirit of the pilgrims in relation to this ritual during the Feast of Tabernacles. And the symbolism of the water ritual operated on several levels. It was a way, first of all, to pray that the Lord would send rain in the time of drought. And there was even a superstition that developed that if it rained during the feast, it was a good omen for the rainy season to come, something like our Groundhog Day. But this ritual, like the building of booths, also looked back to the time when Israel wandered in the wilderness. The water flowing down the altar called to mind how Yahweh had brought water from the rock to provide for his people. And the fact that water was flowing from the sacrificial rock altar of the temple also brought to mind some of the sayings of the prophets. Both Ezekiel and Zechariah prophesied of a day to come when water would flow forth from the temple as a sign of God's blessing, bringing life and bringing healing. Now, children, I want you, along with our adults, to use your imagination. Pretend that you can go back in time and actually be present in Jerusalem during this great Feast of Tabernacles. You've worked hard in the field during the summer, and the harvest has been gathered in, and you've journeyed to Jerusalem for this time of worship and celebration. And perhaps you were able to take part and help to build the little booth that your family is going to live in for that week. And as you did so, your parents told you once again how the Lord had led Israel through the wilderness back when he delivered them from slavery in Egypt. And they too had once lived in tents. And you've also witnessed the daily water ceremony, going along with the priests, waving branches and singing psalms. And you think back to how Yahweh brought water from the rock in the wilderness, and you long for him to send much needed rain. You also remember the prophecies of a time when life-giving water would flow forth from the temple, a symbol of ever-expanding blessing. Now, picturing yourself among the bustling crowd of joyous pilgrims, listen to John's description of what happens. Verses 37 and 38. On the last day, that great day of the feast, Jesus stood and cried out, saying, "If anyone thirsts, let him come to me and drink. He who believes in me, as the scripture has said, out of his heart will flow rivers of living water." Now we know from verse 14 that Jesus had been teaching in the temple since his arrival in Jerusalem midway through the feast. If you had been there, you might have encountered him in one of the porticos in the outer court, engaging in that teaching. And John tells us it is now the last day, that great day of the feast. And this might refer